started
this
because what I wanted to do is go over goal setting, and I know some of you go, oh my gosh, goal setting, one more time. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And yes, one more time, because we should have goal setting in our life all the time. Goal setting is critical for all of us, so I always try to tackle goal setting in the month of December, but with me being out for the first couple of weeks in Mexico, it's just been a hard thing to get this on the schedule. So I'm squeezing in all the goal setting for the next two sessions. We'll have a call today, and then we'll have another call a week from today, and I will do how to achieve that your goals. Hang on a second. I still got people. There we go. And then we'll have a call a week from today to make sure to capture the other side of the goal setting as well, which is how to put in place techniques to make sure you achieve the goals that you've set. But step one is, you know, what do I do in terms of setting goals? How does it work? And all those kind of things. So today we're going to talk about that. And we're going to really hone in on, well, you know, first of all, I'd like to always establish why, because people are out there so often and they go, well, you know, why do I need to set goals? Or how do I get started? Or all that kind of stuff. And some people just don't start. And they tend to be renegades. I have some in my downline that say, Mary Jo, I don't set goals. And when I ask the questions about why they don't set goals, they give me answers like, they've never worked for me before, so why should I believe they'll work again? And let me suggest to you, it's not about goals working for you, it's about you working for goals. Does that make some sense? I mean, you can put anything on a piece of paper, but you have to take action and build momentum around that action to see the results to achieve the goals that you've set. So it's not about the goals working or not working. It's about you working or not working. The concept of goal setting is something that's been established for mankind for literally, you know, thousands of years. And there isn't a book out there on the shelves written about, you know, success and how to move ahead and all the things that don't start with the concept of goal setting. So it's important as mother's milk. It's as important. It's a step one to achieving the rest of your life. And when we leave out the foundation, we leave out any opportunity for us to really achieve what we may have said we desired in our life. Because I tend to suggest that people don't set goals, they really haven't set desires of their life. And that means that somehow in your life you've given up on dreams, you've given up on what your life can look like, and that's a cop-out. That's just leaving the earth without, you know, reaching the fulfillment that's in store for you. There are unlimited possibilities for you in your life, and to give up on them at whatever stage you're in is really, it's a cop-out. And it's something, as I refer to people, I do a lot of coaching around this as well, and I try to talk to people about it because I think that when you don't play full out as an individual, if you're not stepping up to the plate and doing the best you can be and being the best you can be and contributing as much as you can, you're not just robbing from yourself, because then you can, you know, live a life of regrets of what coulda, shoulda, woulda, and I hate those words. I don't use them in my vocabulary because they don't exist. They're just words of victim and reasons, excuses. They're not words that of future and creation. They're not directional. They're going backwards. So, but the idea is that not only have you robbed from yourself, but you really have robbed from all of us. I mean, each and every one of the people on this planet need you to step up and be the best you can be. And no better evidence of that than when we look at this whole Give for Real program, that we have 5 million children that die on this planet every year from malnutrition. And as I talk about that program with people, I go, you know, that's happening on your and my watch. I mean, some of us live in a world where our world is just our home and our church and our little community, and we think that's the world. Well, excuse me. The world is everything happening on every continent on this planet. That's our world. And we are here as people that can do something about it. If we can't do anything about it, then you're saying no one on the face of the earth can do anything about it. Oh, well, we don't have the power. Are you kidding? You have more power than you ever could imagine. The issue is looking at yourself as a valuable cog in that whole machine to create a difference, to make it a better place for many people. And that's what you got to start looking at. How am I making this planet a better place for many people? And so many of us get stuck in our own ways because we get focused on just who we are in our scarcity mentality, and we drop off the face of the earth. We no longer contribute because we're so caught up in the me philosophy instead of how do I make a difference in other people's lives. So important for us to look at if we're going to create that difference. And that I just give you that foundation to start looking at what's holding you back and what's keeping you from making that difference and really getting out there and changing, helping to change this world, which so desperately is in need of change. Let's set goals to make that happen. And that's the way. That's step one, because you got to have a direction. Goals give you the direction, right? Goals are the direction. If you continue to go forward in life and you have no goals, then you have no direction. You become a meandering generality rather than a meaningful specific. I heard that phrase years ago and I loved it. Do you want to be a meandering generality or a meaningful specific? And that just the word meandering generality just makes my stomach churn. Because once again, it's about living a life of no direction. It's living a life of just going whichever way the wind blows. And that I don't want the wind to control me. I want to have some directional. I want to use God's guidance in my life to set goals and directions for my life and set a definitive place I want to get on an annual basis. And that's what goal setting is about for me. Every year I go through goal setting in December, and I tap into it throughout the year to just adjust and readjust to make sure I stay on track. But it keeps me focused. It keeps me directional. And it keeps me on a path of making a difference in this world outside of my little life, which is so insignificant compared to the hundreds of thousands and millions of lives all around me. So, again, setting goals, critical. Every book you've ever seen written on success will tell you to set goals. So if you're not a goal setter, I suggest you have just landed on the number one change you need to make going into 2011. Because if you want life to be different, what do you have to do? You have to do something different. And setting goals is critical. First of all, when you're setting goals, I let go into talk a little bit about structuring goals, because some people just kick off and they ask their upline, what should I set for my goals? Well, that's not a good way of doing it, because the goals need to be yours. But in order for goals to be yours, you really have to know who you are, right? Isn't that an important concept? Yeah. And some of us haven't done enough work on ourselves to figure out what's most important to us, what our values are, our core values are, what our vision is in our life. And I'm going to suggest that your core values are the basic opening premise point to start with. So you look at who we are, who you really are. There's nothing wrong or right about it. And a lot of people like to make that distinction. In fact, I was in that category for years myself as a lawyer. Everything was right and wrong. So it was black and white, and it was hard to get rid of that out of my life. But I sit down in a value exercise with people, and somebody comes up with their number one core value is love. And love isn't even in the top five words of my five core values. I started trying to make somebody right or wrong, or I was trying to figure out why that was true. Well, it doesn't matter what it's a word. It's what that word means to that person. So when I did my value exercise and came up with my number one core value in my life is contribution, as probably a lot of you evidenced by my doing Monday calls. You know, and the mana train and all the thousands of things I reach out and touch people with, it's, you know, I'm in my highest high when I'm in contribution. Well, is not contribution a word that starts with the core basis of love? Because we contribute out of love. And that's, so love is independent of that, but it's also a core principle involved in contribution. So you don't do a comparison analysis of what somebody else's core values are, because what's important to you is what your core values are. So get some clarity around your core values, and there are a lot of good core value exercises out there that I've used in the past in pathway class and another, but it's important for you to establish that. And one of the ways you can start playing with that concept if you're not don't have clarity is to just get a good list of values. You can go on the internet, find them. They're in backs of books that I've read. I mean, they're just a lot of places, because, you know, we don't really spend a lot of time dealing with values today. A lot of our culture seems to be counter value, so it's we need to start focusing on what values are and what's most important to us. And from your value, when you start looking at your value, you're going to start being able to see where your passion is and your vision is for your life. And the suggestion is made, there's a book out there, Your Life is Art, by Robert Fritz, that I really enjoy, and I take a lot of his material for this training this morning as well. But he calls the journey of the passion, finding your vision or your passion for your life. He says, start your journey as an aimless pursuit of reality. In other words, he says, if you stop with any agenda, because the minute you put an agenda in, okay, if you are looking out there for a need to an answer, what typically happens is that you already are prejudged. You're already prejudging certain things. In other words, you've already started defining the world around you. You've given definition to it because you're looking for a specific need. So the idea is to start with an aimless pursuit of reality. In fact, try to free your mind up to allow whatever flows into it to be a natural flow instead of something that's guided, directed by all your preconceptions, your judgments, your attitudes, your history, your, you know, all the things you believe to be true. Start with a fresh mind and watch where that mind goes. And just so it's called aimless pursuit of reality. And it sometimes allows us to open up to hear things we wouldn't otherwise hear because we tend to have a lot of blockage in our own brain because we have a lot of things that have caused us to look at the world in a different set of glasses. And it's those glasses that don't allow us to see the world in its full, vibrant state and thus, you know, reach out and find what we need to find. And as Robert Fritz says, many times when he gets people to release from coming from need and just going out in pursuit of reality, that's how people find God in their life. That's how people really develop that relationship with God, because it really opens up all the possibilities out there. So important to do that when you're pursuing passion. If you don't know what your passion is in your life, is to really spend time, a journey of aimless pursuit of reality, as he calls it, and it's a great way to do it. A more traditional approach to vision and values is answering some questions. So we start looking at, you know, basing our goals on values, but we have to look at what are those values, what's the vision of our life. And there are a bunch of questions out there. I put them in the outline today. There are questions under B2, which says, if you discover that you only had 1 year to live, how would you live it? That will give you a good idea of what you consider important in your life. And don't take this approach as a morbid thought. Take it as a beautiful thought. What would I do if I only had 1 year left to live in my life? What would I want to accomplish? What would be most important to me in my life? What would be at the top of that list? And then start going through, what would you accomplish? And it will really help you start seeing, where would you go? Who would you be with? What would you do? What would you try to accomplish? Another question, if you won $3 million after taxes, what would you do differently? In other words, what would you do with money? If you had that much money, what would you do with it? I mean, a lot of us don't have that opportunity to have $3 million after tax land in our lap. I was fortunate to have a chunk of that land in my lap, and that's what started my foundation, which is great. So but the freedom that you have to have something like that happen in your life, you have to start thinking and believing. Some of you have a hard time with these questions because you just immediately go, well, that's never going to happen. Well, I wouldn't say never. I would say that anything can happen. I mean, we live in a world of abundance that anything can happen, but it just get your brain freed up to believe it and then see how you respond to it. And so just work through those questions, and that's a great experiment in itself. And some people could spend hours on those questions because they really will dig deep inside of you. But that's what you want to do, is pursue you. And then other of you are going to start with those questions, and you're going to start coming up with ideas on a sheet of paper, and you're going to walk away because you're going to go into a state of depression. For some reason, you're going to get into judging yourself immediately or judging your life. And that's so wrong. That's not the purpose of this exercise, people. The purpose of this exercise is to take you away from your reality that you've created so far in your life to help you create something different. Because most of us are looking at our reality, no matter where it is. Even, you know, we can look at good and bad or what we've achieved and all the things that we've done. And, you know, you can sit back and hang your laurels on what you've accomplished, but it's nothing compared to what you can accomplish. As long as you're still breathing and still functional, we have to understand there's more out there to be accomplished, more to be done, more that we can step into. And Manatech, thank goodness, is helping drive us with this Give for Real program in a way that's so significant. I mean, I'm ecstatic. Every day I think about 5 million consumers. How do I find them? So So I can truly look back and say, I played a critical role in stomping out global malnutrition. I think it's a fantastic concept. And thank goodness for Sam that he's done this for us, because it's so awesome for all of us, each and every one of us. Don't treat it lightly. Treat it with the honor and respect it deserves, because it's huge what he's trying to accomplish here through us as a vehicle to help support that. I also advise people to draft a to-be list, because I think one of the things, you know, there's a law of attraction, there's a law of vibration. We're going to get into that in a minute or two. But for you to be the best you can be and be really committed and make the goals come true, it's important for you to work on who? On you, because you lead by example. You are going to be the one that steps out and attracts people. And there's that law of attraction that says we attract who we are. So if there's certain things we need to work on, and I attach to the outline, like I do every year, a list of characteristics of a good leader. And they're not, by no means is this just the only list of characteristics. There are literally tons of characteristics. In fact, you can look at a lot of John Maxwell's books. You know, he does a great job of leadership training and leadership books. You can look at a bunch of his books and see the kind of characteristics that he talks about. But many of these probably came from there. When I did this list a few years back, I'm sure I used John Maxwell's to come up with some of these characteristics. But I want you to go through the characteristics of a good leader and just focus on those and circle the ones that you feel that are lacking in your life. And don't tackle 10, but maybe tackle 3 or 4. That are most critical to you, and make that part of your 2011 to-be list. So it starts becoming a focal point for you to really work on for 2011. Because transformation, people, is something we're going through all our lives, if we're growing. But that, remember I said if, because you do have an option. You know, you're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. You have an option to choose. But the green and growing just sounds so much better, and it is so much better, and it's so much more reflective of, you know, Christian values and what we are as people, as human beings. So I suggest we opt out of the ripe and rotting and go to the green and growing, which means we work on ourselves. We need to perform at a higher and better level. And I continue to work on myself. I continue to dedicate time and energy around who can I be to be a better person? How can I be a better leader? How can I be a better mentor? How can I be a better wife? How can I be a better, you know, mom to my kids? Every day, it's a never-ending process. And so to attack a to-be list is crucial. And I'm doing the same thing. Same exercises that I'm telling you to do today are exactly what I'm going to be doing between now and next Monday. So I get to share a lot of the things that come out of that next Monday, as can you. But so draft your to-be list and pick on those characteristics that you need. And then finally draft a mission statement or a purpose statement. Now, sometimes this takes a long time, so you may not get it done quickly, but start working on it. Start really thinking big, because that's what this time of year is about. It's about thinking big. It's about thinking big about, we have a brand new year kicking off very quickly. In less than 18 days from now, we have a brand new year. And what are we going to do differently in 2011? So how are we going to pursue our mission? Well, if you don't know what your mission is, you're not going to be able to pursue it. So critical for us to get clarity around that. Okay, the next part of the outline is about structural tension. And I bring this up year after year because I think it's one of the most crucial things to get us to move. We recognize structural tension. Structural tension exists. And we need to put it in place in our lives, because what it does is it causes directional change. And we all need directional change. I need directional change because I have goals that I need to be directionally changed. I need to be directed closer towards those goals. If I stay stuck where I am, I'm not going to achieve the goals that I've placed in my life. So structural change is critical. You can look, again, going back to the book, Your Life as Art, by Robert Fritz, and that's where the quote comes from. He talks about structural tension is the best and most powerful structure there is in creative process. Developing the ability to envision the result and observe the present situation in relation to that result. So when he talks about tension here, he's not talking about structural tension from a perspective of anxiety, becoming anxious or overwhelming pressure. That's not what he's talking about. It's not a stressful thing. It's tension because you have two different points that can't coexist. Does that make sense? Like if you take his example that he uses so often is the one that I remember is the one with the rubber band. If you take a rubber band and you stretch it as far as you can between two fingers, you've created structural tension. There's not anxiety or stress or strain or pressure in it. It's just structural tension. The rubber band can't stay in that position. Something has to happen. So if you look at one end, one of your fingers at one end being the goals that you want and the other finger being where you are in reality today, which way do you want that rubber band to move is the question of structural tension. It's got to resolve itself. So either the finger where your reality has to move closer to your goals or the goals have to become closer to your reality. In other words, you give up on the goals you have. What's your choice? I mean, it is a choice. And people do this every day of their life. And they start rationalizing, well, that goal was too hefty, or, you know, I put it too far out there, or, you know, these things, we go victim to our life. I love it. When people talk to me about their life, it's just, and it happens every day in coaching. Well, my daughter got sick, my husband did this, my dad did this, my church did this, I had this. And when I hear this over and over again in coaching people, it's amazing to me that somehow they think I don't have a life, I guess. I mean, don't we all live? We all live. Now, you can choose to go victim to your life, or you can choose to what? Be responsible. So the goal-setting concept is, how do I be responsible? I want my life, I want my reality to approach my goals. And life is always going to be present, hopefully. I mean, the alternative ain't so hot, as we say, right? I love to talk today when I'm out speaking, I talk about anti-aging, and I go, well, the alternative isn't so hot, right? Death is, if you're anti-aging, you really want to age. Anti-aging is kind of a funny word, because anti-aging, if you're not aging, you're dead. So we all are aging. So the progressive addition of years onto our life is one thing. Biologically becoming more fit and younger is another. But just like in your life here, as you try to look at that goals versus your reality, you want the reality to approach the goals, not the goals to be sacrificed. And that's what happens. A lot of times you see the picture, the diagram. Al Balla does this a lot. He'll talk about people's dreams. How many of us have dreams in our life? Maybe that's a great idea. What do you dream of in your life? That's what we talk about. When you talk about vision for your life and purpose for your life and direction, we have big, huge dreams. But the problem is what stops them from happening is the dinero, as we say in Mexico, the money. We have this small circle of money, and we got this huge circle of dreams. And too many of us, see the structural tension exists between those two? There's structural tension. And too many of us shrink our dreams to our dinero instead of increasing the dinero to create all the dreams. So the idea is, how do we do that? That's what we want to do. We want to work towards making sure that we're approaching our goals, making sure we're achieving our dreams instead of forfeiting them. But to do it, we have to have that structural tension. What Robert Fritz says, it's impossible to achieve the goals in your life without isolating where your reality is today. And that's where many of us fail. We don't want to look at our reality. We don't want to take a piece of paper and draw a reality check. And, you know, every year at the end of the year, I do a reality check. I look at where I am I look at relationships. I look at my walk with Christ. I look at my business. I look at my income, my net worth. I look at all the different things. And I say, where am I? Where is Mary Jo today? Everyone needs to do it. And it's not with a concept of getting depressed about it or getting lost. Concept of being true to self. Because it's part of the process of creating the structural tension between where you want to go and where you are today. So you've got to draw that picture. And in the outline today, one of the first attachments is a chart. If you look at the first attachment, it has at the top a picture of your goal, and at the bottom your current reality. And I want you to fill that in. You start off, this is an interesting sheet of paper, because in this sheet of paper, in this exercise, you start off at the bottom with drafting your current reality. So if you want to take on your Manatech goal, maybe that's the goal you want to take on. You look at, what's my current reality? You put down exactly how many people you have in your downline, how much income you're making, how many leaders you have, all the things that your current reality around Manatech. And then your goal is to be what? Maybe you say, I want to be presidential by, you know, December 31st, 2011. Okay, that might be your goal, or executive director, or national director, or whatever it might be. Or your goal can be this. I want to add 1,000 new consumers to my downline, or I want to add 100 new consumers, maybe more realistic for some of you. Maybe add 50 is realistic for some of you, whatever it might be. Because through that, you know you're saving 50 more lives through the Give for Real. What's your contribution going to be to the Give for Real program next year? Are you going to help stomp out global malnutrition for 50 children? Well, in order to do that, you need to add 50 more, right? 50 more consumers and or business builders to your downline. You don't care. You'd rather have business builders because they're going to add more. But, you know, that's your goal. So you set your goal up there. So then what happens is, so you have a goal and you have a current reality, and then each one of the black dots on the left side of that piece of paper, you start with the one at the bottom. I know it's hard to figure that out, but what would be step one? So at the very bottom circle, black circle, you put step one. What's your first step that you're going to do to get? Because remember, what you're doing is the arrows go from your current reality, draw an arrow, and point up to your goal. So you step by step starts at the bottom and goes all the way to the top until you achieve your goal. And that's actions to be taken in the proper order to achieve the goal that you set. So I suggest you go through that exercise because it's great to see what structural tension does for you. Your reality versus what you want to do. Create the structural tension and then build the plan to get there. So great, great concept, and you can do it with each and every one of the goals. You can do it each and every day of your life. I mean, you could take the sheet of paper and you could say, okay, what's my current reality? What am I going to accomplish today? What are the steps I need to take to get there? Create structural tension every day of your life and watch how that works to promote you to achieve the results in your life. Some people do it automatically. I do it automatically by a to-do list. I look at, okay, what has to get done today? Boom. I already know what my goal is. My goal is to get this done, right? And it's going to create these results for me. But some people need to view the results it's going to create, which gives them more momentum to do the work. And we know one thing, you know, it's all a reality check. The other thing is a reality check, examine last year's goals and see where you are. That's an important process to go through as well. And I tell people to do that because you got to analyze what happened last year. And some of you have a hard time doing that because, again, it gets into, what did I do last year? I don't want to get depressed that I didn't accomplish the goals I accomplished. Well, are you kidding me? I go back and look at mine and go, wow, you know, boy, do I got work to do. It's fun to do it because it's like, you know, but look what I did accomplish. I didn't get here, but I got here. So look at the difference there. Okay, so everybody clear on structural tension. You need to have that in your life. Otherwise, you're not going to potentially motivate yourself or move yourself because you got to start from, you have to have an acknowledgement of where you start from. To create that force in your life to make it happen. The last part of the section of this outline is number 3, which is my annual review. And I try to get everybody to do this because it was the number one. People sometimes said, well, Mary Jo, when you first started in Manatech, what caused you to the greatest changes in your life? And I said, well, obviously the greatest changes in my life that impacted my success in Manatech came from probably the self-development side of it, who I was. Doing more in-depth work on Mary Jo because I knew that I was the only limitation. I'm the only limitation in my own life. Nothing else limits me except me. And so as long as I can work on me, which is something I can choose to do, thank goodness it's within my power and control that I can choose to work on myself, right? So you follow me? So whatever my success or lack of success is in my life starts with me. And I can choose to work on me, and I have the power to work on me. Is it easy? No, not always, because it's not always easy to dig at yourself and say, wow, you know, this is how I've been. How do I choose to be different? How do I work through that to accomplish that result? But the neat thing is it's all within your control, so it's not something that's out there in anyone else's control. It's yours. So how are you going to work on yourself? So self-development is crucial. It's about working on self. But, you know, one of the big things I did every year, when I always look back at how I grew, and it, because I changed. Not just did I change from a personal perspective and personal development and work on my to-be list, right, who I am and my to-be list, but I also did what I call an annual review of my Manatech business. I did this every year, and finally about 3-4 years ago, I drafted up a form for you guys to use if you'd like to share in it, because it's been so incredibly effective for me that I share tools with people to help them accomplish the same results. And what I would do on the left side of a legal pad, I use a legal pad, and you, again, you can use the form I've attached to the outline, it's, and you on the left side, you put your activities in 2010. For some of you, there's going to be very limited activities. For others of you, you've worked really hard at your business. Everybody's different. But look down, what did I do in my activities in 2010? And then propose 2011. What am I going to be doing differently in 2011? Because and why am I going to be doing something differently? Because I want different results. No matter how great my results were in 2010, even as I was growing in Manatech, you know, I had tremendous, growth in my business as my first 5 years, but I did this every single year because I knew that if I kept doing what I've always been doing, I couldn't create greater results. I would be stuck in creating the same results I created the year before. So I knew I had to do something different. So what is it that you're going to be doing differently? And put everything out there, people. Don't leave anything that's protected. Make sure you reveal everything on that list of activities of 2010. What did I do? What structures did I have in my life? Who did I hire? What was I working on? How did I do my banking? How did I do my product purchases? How did I do my consumer follow-up? How did I do my prospecting? Every aspect of it falls in that first column. And then on the right-hand side, you go back and say, how am I going to shift? What is this going to look like differently? And it's an excellent exercise to go through, so I recommend every one of you do that, and this is the week to do it. So look at that 2010 and look at your 2011. And I put in here, understand the law of vibration, and I want to go over that briefly, and then we're going to talk about, just go through some basic goal-setting concepts. But let me talk about the law of vibration for all of you, because it's so incredibly important, and there's great written materials on the law of vibration on the internet. And the law of vibration, it's the law of the universe, it's a law that exists, it's a law that's based on who we are as human beings, what we're made of, the matter that we're made of, everything. And the law of vibration goes like this. Every physical thing throws off a vibration. Everything that you hear, you smell, you taste, or touch throws off a vibration, because everything is in a constant state of motion. Whenever you get near enough for them to hear into your sphere of vibration, you'll be affected by that vibration. So whenever you get near enough to them to enter into their sphere of vibration, you'll be affected by that vibration. Did you ever notice that when you're around somebody and they get angry? Do you notice what happens to your body? You get affected by their vibration, whether you realize it or not. One of the things he says, have you ever noticed, for example, when you walk in the woods, how peaceful you feel while walking in the woods? The woods carries a vibration, and you pick up that, you're influenced by the vibration. Well, the law operates exactly in the same way in the mental realm. For when a person thinks a thought, it means the person has consciously or unconsciously started a group of brain cells vibrating abnormally. Okay? We start a thought. Once these brain cells being things begin to vibrate abnormally, they throw off a wave of electronic energy which moves out seeking a place to land. So if you're in a sphere or place of vibrations and you happen to have similar cells which are in rapport or in harmony or agreement with the ones vibrating in the other person's brain, then you receive these vibrations and are affected mentally by them, either negatively or positively. Follow me? Negatively or positively. That's the law of vibration. We're going to be affected it. But always bear in mind, the only thing which stops a thought that you have is that which resonates with the thought. That means that if you should run into an electromagnetic vibratory field of negative thoughts, okay, so if you come across a person with negative thoughts, if you are that type of person, you're going to actually become negative yourself. Conversely, if you run into a positive vibratory field, you'll experience the opposite of the negative, namely the positive. This is what this is Bob Proctor, who's giving this definition from his description of the law of vibration. This is an orderly universe. Nothing happens by accident. The images you plant in your marvelous mind instantly set up an attractive force which governs your results in life. Remember, we talked about the power of positive thinking and feeding ourselves positive thoughts and keeping positive in our brain. It's just a constant. Why we do affirmations all the time, right? Because the images that you plant in your marvelous mind instantly set up an attractive force which governs your results in your life. You must remember, though, if your image is continually fluctuating, who can raise their hand to say, my images, Mary Jo, fluctuate? How many of you on this call today can talk about fluctuating images? If your image is continually fluctuating, you will continually be growing into something different, and that sets in motion a most chaotic process. Unfortunately, those individuals who are unaware of these very exact laws are planting images of plenty in their minds 1 minute and then images of poverty the next. They are continually switching vibrations, so they are attracting good things 1 minute and then bad things the next. Sad truth is, the vast majority of people spend their entire lives oscillating between these two extreme positions, with the resulting effect that their lives become disordered and chaotic to the nth degree. If that sounds like you, what do you need to do differently? If that sounds like what's happening in your life, what do you need to do differently? Although it is true that everything you will ever want is already here, it is up to you to get into harmony with it. Clearly, you will never get into harmony with prosperity if you insist upon holding images of lack and limitation in the storehouse of your marvelous mind. Since you are always magnetized towards something, it follows that it can never be anyone else's fault when something comes into your life you supposedly do not want. Understand you have ordered it, and it is being delivered to you right on schedule. Oh, is that powerful? I'm going to send this out to you guys so you can read it again, because I think Proctor really hits on something about this law of vibration and how we demand things into our life and recreate them into our life, and we don't even realize it. And it's very powerful language, and it really helps me, too, because every once in a while, do things negative happen to Mary Jo's life? Absolutely. I have things in my life. In fact, last week I had a huge trauma thing happen because I got some horrifically bad advice from a financial advisor, and it's caused a little blip in my life. And it's not that we lost the money, it's just a concept of how we had to handle a certain situation. And it was a big disaster, and I really was angry, and all of a sudden, it was a matter of time, but it took me to finally realize that I'm not solving the problem by coming from anger. I'm not solving a problem by coming and reacting and lashing out. I can only solve this problem by what? By converting my mind, I have control over that magnificent mind to be able to put it into a positive mode and think, what great can I create out of this event? It's like that Romans 8:28. You know, it was just pretty, but we all have that power to do that. But it's when we don't do it, we end up ruining not only our day, but what do? We send out negative vibrations all around us. And how was I going to go give meetings for Manatech if I had negative thoughts in my head, if I was carrying this negative concept? So it's really understanding the law of vibration applies to like every day of our life. And so we need to really get that and work on it. So I'm going to send this. I put together 2 pages, and I'll send it out. I'll have Lydia send it out to you because I think it's that powerful, really understanding law of vibration and how it can totally impact your life. And totally is. It's not can impact your life. I'm telling you, it's impacting your life every day of your life, whether you know it or not, because it's a law. It exists. It's who we are. It's our energy fields that we are as people. And we're creating that around us. And it's about, okay, so if I'm going to attract incredible business builders, what do I start needing to have to be? I need to have to step into something different than who I am. I need to change my belief system. I need to start moving in a new direction. So, great. Okay, now let's talk. Let's get into real quickly. I want to make sure to go over with you because I gave you lots of assignments. I know this isn't a class, but if it were a class, you would have all these assignments. I'm hoping some of you take it seriously and do the assignments because they will serve you. But let's talk about drafting goals, because one of my favorite quotes of all times, people have heard me say it over and over again, design your life by choice and commitment and not by chance and circumstance. This is about you stepping into the power of you. So drafting goals. So we've gone through the basic premises of drafting goals, the internal structure, all the things that you understand about law of vibration, all these kinds of things. Let's talk about drafting goals. All goals must be SMART. We're going to get into specifics of drafting them. They must be specific, measurable, achievable, risky, and timely. And if you make sure you follow on these criteria, you will be much more effective in drafting goals. My suggestion for all of you is that you kick off with 6 categories. And you deal with 6 different categories at least. You could have 10, but at least 6 different categories, 3 goals in each one. And the reason we start off with 6 categories is because we want you to make sure you have balance in your life. Balance. If you just work on Manatech goals, then you're focusing on one thing and you're going to get out of balance. Do people do that in Manatech? Absolutely. There are people out there that are out of balance a lot in Manatech. They'll take on and they'll just exclusively work Manatech, and they lose their spouses. They get disenfranchised from their families. It's crazy. You don't want to sacrifice the critical things that are important in your life. So all those need to have goals, structure in there to create balance. So make your goals something that encompasses all areas of your life. And it also allows us to give attention to areas of your life that you perhaps haven't done. Like intellectually, a lot of people, they stop learning. What courses are you going to take this year? Where are you going to grow? What are you going to teach yourself? And then another thing is looking back and saying, what are things that have kept you from reaching these goals in the past? So you understand clearly what some of the roadblocks are, so you can what? If you can see the roadblocks up front, you're going to be much better off to be able to overcome them as they hit. Or put together a plan that interfaces with the roadblocks. Because setting goals and just running after them is one thing, but I think it's really critical. Some of you who haven't had goals be effective for you, one of the main reasons is you haven't looked at why you haven't achieved them yet and how are you going to overcome those things that have caused you not to achieve them yet. You got to tackle those. You have to have a game plan that just smack right in the face of the things that have stopped you before. And that's what you have to look at. So make sure you do that exercise. It's not unimportant, right? There's a double negative. In other words, it's very important to look at what has held you back before and come up with a plan on why it's not going to hold you back this time around, right? Okay, then you want to make sure that after you get done conquering all your goals, and by the way, I'm making a commitment to all of you guys. For those of you who want to draft some goals between now and next Monday, if you would like to send them to me at the Manatrain website, you can send us an email. I will review them for you by next Monday. I promise and make a commitment. I will give you my feedback on goals that you set. So if you want some feedback, mentoring from Mary Jo, even though you're not necessarily my organization, you're more than welcome to get that. And what is feedback? It's not truth. It's just another person's view of what has transpired. You're getting their independent viewpoint. You can take it or leave it, but it's incredibly invaluable because it gives you a concept of how things are perceived outside your little world. So I suggest when people offer feedback, say, absolutely, would love feedback because it can only help you grow. You don't have to take it as absolutes. You just take it as some feedback. It's somebody else's opinion, okay? All right, so what did I just tell you? Every one of you should take advantage of Mary Jo's offer to give you feedback, but that's up to you. You've got to take the action, and again, it's your choice. When you review your goals, you want to make sure that all of them, before you send them to somebody or make them finalized, you want to use this review system. Number one, they all should start with I. You have to make them personal. People love to draft goals and leave themselves out of them. I've had it happen over and over again in my Pathway to Presidential class, and so I know it's a habit that people have, and it's a great way of avoidance. If your life is about avoidance, then why do you even bother setting goals? You're playing a game. Life should be about fulfillment and abundance and creation, right? What are you going to create? What magnificent things are going to happen for you in 2011? And start with that as your opening premise. What are you going to create? Okay, so start those goals with I will create. And again, will, you'll learn that's not proper language, but I create is going to be the language. In other words, that gets right into the second issue is make sure they're all in present tense. Not past tense, not future tense. future is what usually happens. I will become presidential. No, I am presidential on or before October 31st, 2011. That is a power statement. When you say, I will, that just gives you a lot of reasons not to do it. And it gives you, why? Because it procrastinates and puts it out in the future. I don't want you to think in terms of your goals in the future. People, these are concepts and principles that not Mary Jo didn't develop. These, I took these from masters at goal setting. They say never use future tense because it gives you reason to procrastinate. So always draft your goals in present tense. I am presidential. I am national director. I am executive director. Okay, so and then you put, so you make sure they're all present tense. Use live action verbs or feeling verbs, live action verbs. Don't use dead, use live. We want it to be lively, we want it to be moving, we want to induce action from you. So use action verbs. Be brief. So don't draft a goal that goes on for 4 pages. The brief, it's one statement. It's a statement about what you're committed to create in your life in 2011. When you start adding, put a little validations, or if this happens, I love it when people say, I am presidential director if, and I go, why if? There aren't ifs. You create the ifs. You create what happens in your life. Don't go victim to L-I-F-E. Okay? So don't be brief. Number E in under number 5 is be positive, not negative. In other words, people like to talk about losing weight. I think it's, and languaging, it's really powerful language when you leave the lose out of anything. Because we as human nature, every time we lose something, what's our normal inclination? To go find it. Well, how many of you want to lose 10 pounds and then go find it again? Isn't that incredible? So we don't talk about losing weight. We talk about what we're going to weigh. So instead of losing 20 pounds by March 31st, if you're at 160 now, you say, I weigh 140 pounds on or before March 31st, 2011. Now you haven't lost anything. You're just making a statement of your beingness at a specific date. Because if you commit to losing it, you'll commit to finding it. and then make sure they all are specific, measurable, achievable, risky, and timely. In other words, every one of them has to have a time frame to it. You have to put a date on it. Otherwise, it's not a valid goal. The other thing you want to do with your goals, you want to write them down on 3x5 cards, carry with them with you every day. This is something I haven't been good at, but I'm doing this year. So I'm telling on myself. Read them every day. Have an accountability partner to support you through the year. Find a partner. How do you find a partner? That's sometimes hard for people. Find people who care about you. And some people will say to me, well, Mary Jo, I don't really have somebody like that in my life. And I say, well, if you want more people to care about you, what do you need to do in life? What's the law? Law of attraction. If I want more love in my life, I need to love more people. If I want people to care about me more, I need to care about other people more. What you have put out there is what you're going to get back. So recognize that. But find somebody who cares about you and deeply cares about you. And don't find somebody who doesn't want you to succeed. There are a lot of people in our life that are like crabs in that jar. You know that story about putting 5 crabs in a jar, take the top off, and one of those crabs starts climbing up the side of the jar to get out. And what do the other crabs do? They clip at them and bring them back down. You don't want that. And that can be family members. I think all of you ought to go see the movie. I saw it the other day. Lydia played it. I thought it was terrific. I brought it up in one of my talks I did this week. The movie Rudy. How many of you have seen the movie Rudy? If you haven't seen the movie, go get it and watch it. If you have seen it, go get it and watch it again. It is an awesome movie about belief systems. Here's a kid that's growing up in a small town, has his parents and his family all working in steel mills, and he suffers from a little dyslexia, so he's had a hard time at school. But his father's loved Notre Dame all his life. He loves Notre Dame. There's only one. He was a college, high school quarterback, I believe, or played a position on a football team, but, you know, not big enough kid to really play college ball. And you know what? His whole dream was, I want to play college football at Notre Dame. And everybody laughed at him. Even his dad laughed at him. And he finally went to the bus station to take the bus to go to Notre Dame because he was going to try to get in no matter what. He was going to do whatever it took. And his dad came and met him at the chair at the bus station and said, son, you know, people are just made different. You're just not made for Notre Dame. I mean, his dad just like tried to rip his whole dream away from him. It was the saddest part of the show. But you guys got to go see that show. You got to see what determination is. It's a great show. I advise everyone to go see Rudy sometime in the next couple of weeks. In fact, bring it home for your family and see what it does for them. I'm thinking about playing it for all my kids that are coming in town. Just one more emphasis. Not that they haven't seen it, but it's a great show. Get that belief system out there. And that's what we all need to do. Make the connection with our belief system. I also gave you one form that you can fill out as well, which is just good to know consequences. Why do you want to reach the goals in your Manatech business? What is it going to do for you? And then what is it, if you don't reach them, what does that mean for your life? Because sometimes we need to see the price we're going to pay to really get motivated to do something. So that's the purpose of that form. It's attached on the back as well. And then work on your belief system. So I gave you a bunch of homework. You guys got it on the last sheet. I'm totally committed to creating all this. And I have a Christmas, you know, everybody has life. Well, I have part of my family's coming in town this weekend because they can't come for Christmas. They're coming a week early. So we're going to have two Christmas presentations. We're going to have one this weekend and one the following at Christmas Day. So, you know, we all have things, 101 things going on in our lives around this time of year of the holiday season. But you know what? Make yourself a priority. This is critically important for your future, people, that you do this work. You know, work through your to-be list. Work, and you can see how much you can get done, or you can try to conquer it all the next week. I gave it all as an assignment because I only have 2 weeks left to work with you. I have today and I have next Monday. So you can choose to do this, but all I want you to do is do one thing for me. If you're going to procrastinate and you're not going to do it in the next week, I want you all to commit to doing it before December 31st. But if you do it between now and next week, I will review all the goals that you set, and I'll give you feedback on them. And I'll be more than happy to talk personally with whoever sends their goals in to help you work through to make 2011 your best year yet. So let's get to work on that goal setting. It's our goal to do goal setting. How's that? All right, and we'll be back in touch next Monday with our last call. I think it's our last call of the year because Lydia has canceled our Monday call after Christmas to let you guys have more celebrations around Christmas time. And I'm excited about next week as well, but I'm really excited about the holidays. And I can tell you, my heart is out for all of you. I want you all to make 2011 the best year yet for each and every one of you. I think we have a lot of great things coming up in Manatech that are going to make that true for you if you choose it. So love you all. Have a great week, and let's get to work on goal setting, and I'll talk to you next Monday.